Come along and join me for a stop off along the Music Highway, midway between Nashville and Memphis in the small town of Brownsville. We'll visit with the town's first elected African-American mayor, Bill Rawls, and then we'll catch up with Sonia Outlaw Clark. She's the executive director of the West Tennessee Delta Heritage Center, as she takes us on a walking tour of the Tina Turner Museum and the adjacent fabled bluesman Sleepy John Estes's cottage, where he was rediscovered in the 1970s. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer.
I'm Bill Rawls. I'm the mayor of Brownsville, Tennessee.
What a pleasure to be here. This is really a surprise. I had no clue that Tina Turner, born and raised right in the area.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of our hidden gems. She was born and raised as Miss Anna Mae Bullock, and she took the world stage as Tina Turner. We like to think of her as a small town girl who took on the world on the big stage.
Tiny town.
Yeah, tiny town, but a big star. She's a huge star.
Right in front of us is Flag Grove School, one-room schoolhouse. And tell us about that.
Well, Flag Grove School is a one-room schoolhouse, which they were known as a subscription school, where people had to donate a dollar or things of this nature. And they were grades 1 through 8, all in one room, and then there were feeder schools that fed into later was Carver High School. Very common in this area.
And at the time, this is where Tina Turner went to school. That was a segregated school.
Correct. It was all African-American school set out in the middle of a farming community out in the rural, maybe 10, 15 miles from town.
How far are we from Memphis?
Between 55 and 60 miles from Memphis, right off of I-40.
This is an area that its roots, cotton is king and was king here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Haywood County has been and is the number one cotton producing county in the state of Tennessee. We're right in the heart of the West Tennessee Delta.
Back to Tina Turner, this has a history with music that's intertwined with the agrarian roots of this area, going way back. Tell us some of the early stories.
I've always often said that music is in the soil here. It's in our stories. And that was just a way of telling the stories. Going from slavery to sharecropping, we had a huge African-American population here. It was just stories. There were hardships that had to be overcome. And a lot of those stories were told through songs. And it just continued on through, not only through blues, but through rock, through gospel. All our churches here, we have some of the best gospel choirs that you can find.
To this day.
Mm-hmm. They're still authentic and still are rooted in their story and their passion. I think the passion of this community is shown through our music.
There was a guy that you were telling me about early this morning, born here in 1900. He just kind of went off the radar and then he got rediscovered. Tell us that story.
Yeah, that was Sleepy John Estes. He, like you said, he was born in the early 1900s and he did blues. And he said a different style of blues. Like Sonia said, he almost cried the blues instead of singing it. And that was part of the passion from his story. He later went off the radar, rediscovered in the 60s.
How did that happen?
I've seen people. When the Greyhound bus stop was here, right here near this exit, people would get off the bus and say, Brownsville, Tennessee, that's Sleepy John Estes, and would look for his grave or just kind of to hear the story.
Why did they think he was dead?
I think because of the sound of his voice, even as a young man, he made him sound like he was much older, mm-hmm. And they just assumed you didn't hear any music from him anymore that he was deceased. Well, somebody was looking for him. They wanted the Sleepy John story. And they found, not only found the story, they found him sitting on the porch with an old raggedy guitar where he'd use a pencil to tighten up the strings with. And there he was, just sitting on Bradford, down on Bradford Street, hanging out.
When was this? The
70s.
This was 70s.
And he rediscovered him, revitalized his career. He did a lot of tours in Asia and Europe, and he's a big star in the European blues genre.
Isn't that a trip? I mean, the guy probably had no clue.
No clue.
At the end of his life, he'd become a star.
He was a star. And I just show you, sometimes, you know, we think we know, but God knows best. When he has a plan for you, sometimes it's hard to be patient. It was his time. And he went on to record a lot of great music and tell a story about that type of, that genre of blues from Brownsville, Tennessee.
Tell us a little bit more about Brownsville and why should I come here? If you didn't have to go,
right.
Where would you take me when we leave here this morning?
Well, I'll take you to our historical court square so you can see what it looks like. I'll take you to some of the best barbecue you've ever had before in your life, Helen's Barbecue. As a matter of fact, she's been on the Food Network several times. She's been featured. She does old-style pit barbecue. She's one of the only female pit masters that we know of in this area.
How long has she been operating?
Oh, she's been in that business as long as I can remember. She'd worked there with the original owners.
So and when you were a little kid, she was
there? She was there, right. Oh. She was working there, but now she owns the business.
Does she still do any pit mastering?
Yeah, she still does it daily. If you go by there now, it's full of smoke. I suggest if you will go by, you're going to come out smoky.
Go downwind.
Yeah, but it's an awesome, authentic. Some of the things that you just can't, you know, we have chain restaurants, but we still have a lot of original heritage. We rediscovering our roots and not taking them for granted. I take you to Helen's Barbecue.
So first. If we went to Helen's, what would we order?
Ah, you got to get the pulled pork. It's falling off the bone. She started cooking last night sometime, and it's smoked. Completely smoked over a huge pit. She does pit. So that's kind of one of our crown jewels. Of course, if we're here at the Delta Heritage Center, I would definitely want you to see the Tina Turner Museum. Then I just take you around town and introduce you to some of the characters. You know, we got some old characters that have some old stories, so you could kind of share with them. I grew up with those stories, and they were pretty funny. And when I went off to college and started sharing those stories, people were like, are you kidding? Are you exaggerating? I'm like, no, is there really a guy in Browns? And he said this, so he does this all the time.
I know you're under pressure and you got to go, but I need to come back and spend a couple, 3 days.
We drink some beer, eat some barbecue, and talk to some of the people about the blues.
I would love it.
Yeah, we're more than welcome to welcome you back and come see us here in Brownsville. Right here on the interstate, runs right through the heart of right to the adjacent to the city limits. Mm-hmm. So we're easy to find. The Delta Heritage Center is open 7 days a week, and it's free. The Tina Turner Museum is free. It's the only one in the world, thanks to private and public dollars. It's free, as well as it should be.
I love it. And again, to locate you on the radar. How far from Memphis and coming the other direction where
okay.
we come from?
We're located right between Memphis and Jackson, Tennessee on I-40. We're about, we're at exit 56, which is about 50 miles, 60 miles north of Memphis. And we're right 27 miles from Jackson, Tennessee. About an hour and a half from Nashville. We're between Memphis and Nashville, but just on the other side of Jackson, Tennessee, which is pretty notable.
And then you overshoot Memphis and you're in Arkansas.
Yeah. Don't get on the bridge. You're going around. You're going too far. Okay. Well, thank you so much again for coming. Thank you for sharing so I could share with your listeners about what Tennessee has to offer. And we're so proud. We're a small town with a big future.
Population again?
10,000 people in the city, about 18,000 people in the county. My name is William Rawls Jr., the city mayor of Brownsville, Tennessee. And for more information, please contact us at brownsville10.gov.
William, thank you so much. What a pleasure. I'm glad I met you this
morning. I'm glad I met you this morning. I hope you have a great day. Keep up the good work.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You must try to ignore that it means more than.
Now let's catch up with Sonia Outlaw Clark as she takes us on a tour of the Delta Heritage Center. It's the home of the Tina Turner Museum. And then we'll step inside and take a tour of Sleepy John Estes's old cabin.
So you're taking us on a little walking tour now.
We're going to our Flag Grove School, which is our Tina Turner Museum. It's housed here in a one-room schoolhouse that she attended grades 1 through 8 in the Nutbush community. Come on in.
Surprise.
It is a surprise when you walk in. You see all the glitz and the glamour of Tina. The original walls, floor, ceiling. You still feel the old school.
And all the outfits here, these are ones that she's personally donated.
Yes, these were all from her last tour. And with the video going here, you'll see that she's wearing those costumes. You can look at the video and what she's got on. You can look around and find it.
Anything else that you can think of that really touches you?
You have to step into Sleepy John's house, which is next door.
Well, let's go over there.
Okay. During the summer, our concerts that we have here are held from this porch. So he used to be known for sitting on the front porch singing all the time and picking. So we try to carry on that tradition with our concerts on the porch.
And this was his house?
This was his last home. This is the home he lived in 1977. He was actually getting ready on the eve of another European tour. He died from a stroke. And this was the home that he lived in.
And it's all as he left it?
It is. Yeah. It is. Yes. And a lot of people may not recognize his name, but he wrote a lot of the blues standards like Someday Baby Blues that a lot of people will know that Bob Dylan sings. Sleepy John wrote that song.
I hear some music.
You do. You hear him singing in there.
Let's go find that. Wow, it's like he's right up front.
Right, yes. And you see on our string map back here, this is all the places we can document that Sleepy John played all over the world.
Wow.
The red pin is Brownsville, Tennessee, which is where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see everywhere in Europe, Japan, all over the country.
The incredible story of this didn't even start happening to him until the last days of his life.
That's right. He played and he recorded during the early 1900s, but he really became famous later in life.
Somebody was telling me he was forgotten. People thought he was dead and long gone. And here he was in the 70s sitting on his porch making this music and then rediscovered.
That's right, because he always sounded old when he sang. He had this really crying sound, so everyone just assumed that he had died.
That's really poignant.
It is, yes. His first guitar was a cigar box guitar that he made himself. And this one, of course, isn't the one that he made, but it would have been a lot similar to that.
So that's what he was playing out on the front porch.
Right, yeah. And actually, he made the cigar box guitar and played it for a while, and his mother rewarded him with a real guitar. Well, cigar boxes are real, but you know what I mean.
A store-bought one.
A store-bought guitar as a reward for picking cotton one time. So, yeah.
Were they sharecroppers?
They were, yes.
So the family didn't own any land.
Not that I'm aware of, yeah. No, they were sharecroppers, and he always tried to make his living doing music. He didn't like the feels.
That's great.
Smart man.
Yeah, but he got him a guitar, his first store-bought guitar. The West Tennessee Delta Heritage Center in Brownsville, Tennessee, and our website is westtnheritage.com.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Right. I enjoyed this.
Me too.
You ain't gonna work my life.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansas Songs on NPR affiliate KUAR.
But someday, baby, you ain't gonna worry for John Mine anymore.